نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable Ulama, Elders, Brothers, Students, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise are due to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, who through His infinite grace and mercy has bestowed us with this very, very valuable and precious gift of Iman. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, through His fazl and karam, has granted us tawfiq to be present for Salat al-Fajr in the most beloved places, to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the masajid. Indeed, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to pour down upon us in torrents, yet many of us are unaware, we unmindful, sometimes we even negligent, neglectful about recognizing these very, very valuable gifts of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And these have come to us, upon us, without us even asking. This is only through the fazal, the mercy, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that each and every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is under the direct nazar and the care of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And if a person ponders just a little bit into any one creation, or even ourselves, that how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had taken care of us from our inception, and this is now from the time of the arwah being created, where in alam-e alas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all the ruh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then asked that am I not your Rabb? And all the souls in unison replied, Bala, why not? Because at that particular time we all recognize Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His fazl and karam, and look at the great perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that at that time, which was many, many, how many years ago it would have been, and very, very perfectly, when we were created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken that very same ruh and placed it in the correct body, and then put it into our body. So this is the great, there are many, many favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if a person ponders over the stages of the creation, once in the womb of the mother, and how it was cared for, taken, and not only insan, but look at the various creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At every moment there is not one single creation that is out of the nazar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So great, so powerful, so mighty, so encompassing is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And if we only learn, and this is why we have come, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to tap into that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what great power have we connected ourselves to. If a person recognizes it, then he will understand that Allah, the Supreme Being, who has such a great amount of power and control and caring and so much of loving, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I become the favorite of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is nothing left for me to do. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will control me, who will guide me, who will look after me, who will protect me, who is seeing to my needs and will continue to see to my needs. But it is there for us to become obedient slaves of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His fazl and karam, continue to shower His blessings upon us. And through the coming of Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have been shown the way how to get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is all left for us. And this is why we are in the dunya, it's a test. All we have to do is now whatever we have learned, whatever we are learning, if a person implements it, then inshallah Allah, through His kindness, will make us pass our test. Allah is such a kind being that in our examination, in our imtihan, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has already mentioned all the questions, what we're going to be asked. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even gave the answers. And after giving the answers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even showed us how to successfully answer the questions. So all it just requires from us, insan, is a little bit of effort, just a little bit of recognizing that this is what we need to do, and what we need to do, we should be doing. In this ayat al-kareema, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is a very, very beautiful ayat, and it is an hazard over the Yawm al-Jum'ah, and last night, and Laylatul Sadr also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Hazrat has explained to us about this ayat, Al-Yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa radaytu lakum al-Islam deena. And in detail, Hazrat has broken down this ayat. Now it is for us, and this is why we have come, to take the advices, what we have heard, and to ponder over it, to reflect over it, and for the next coming month, to see how I can implement this with recognition in my life. And if we do this, then we will benefit. That's why the majalis are here for this particular reason, that what we come, we absorb, and we bring it into ourselves. We absorb it into our, we digest it in our minds, we analyze it, and then we don't leave it just there, but we bring it into our hearts. And after bringing it into our hearts, we let it permeate through our entire body, and then we bring it into amal, into action. So let us beg Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to grant us this tawfiq, and let us also then reflect, and let us start bringing these things. So here, as Hazrat has explained, that when a Jew had mentioned Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, that if there was an ayat, if it was revealed unto us, then we would have celebrated it, we would have made it a day of Eid. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala looked at him, he understood what he's implying, and he mentioned to him that I know very well which ayat you are talking about, and for us it is a double Eid. So this was this particular ayat which was revealed on the day of Jummah and on the plains of Arafah. So what the, and what the, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, this great mighty being, explains to us that what is al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, that on this day, meaning on the day of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have completed your deen for you. So what a deen we have that is complete. And if we analyze, and this conviction comes onto us, then we will realize that every way of life has very insignificant value, has very little meaning as in comparison to the life of the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that has been given to us, shown to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this we learn that if we want to have a complete life, we should bring complete sunnah into our lives. By sunnah coming into our lives, our life will be complete. There will be no vacuum left in our life. There will be no depression in our life. There will be no sadness in our life. Everything, if it is done according to sunnah, it will bring completion into our life. And al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. Dear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I have completed my favor upon you. Imagine a person is living under the favor of his parents, and how he enjoys anything he requires, he just asks of his parents, he gets it. And because his parents are happy with him, and if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is happy with us, and we have a deen and a way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we act on it, then the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will automatically be there. So it is just meant for us now to be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then enjoy the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dunya has been created, really, one is a test, but we understand it that it's a difficulty. No, really it is a person who is in the itaad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is in the enjoyment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this dunya is a place of enjoyment when it is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person at the time of maut, then also it will be a period of enjoyment. Imagine looking at the malaika and the description that is given in the hadith where they're coming to welcome you. Over 500 malaika, they're bringing a bouquet and they're lining and they are welcoming a person. What enjoyment that is. In the dunya there's enjoyment, at the time of maut there's enjoyment. Then when a person goes into the qabr, after the reckoning also becomes easy. And after that, the window to the palace of Jannah is open. A person enjoys the view from there, and he is with great enjoyment and relish. He is waiting. A person has all, so everything becomes very, very enjoyable. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to his fazl and karam grant it to us all. And then what to say about looking forward to the day of Qiyamah. And a person has got his like VIP ticket, he's got his lounge, he's got his all his amenities, and he sees it, then he's looking forward to it all the way. So, but this requires a little bit of effort. And as Hazrat mentioned, that in this particular time and era, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has greatly favored it. It's something that a lot of people are enjoying. Having a good maut, a maut in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Hazrat has given that incident, that a 90-year-old person, after reciting his surah, there is Muzammil, some other surah, and then after his maut came. So what a beautiful maut. So as we live our life, in that way our maut will come. Kama tamutun. And if you want a good maut, then lead a good life. lead a life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll get a good mood. And if a person has a good mood, then his onward journey also becomes very, very easy and pleasurable. So for this, one very, very great emphasis Hazrat is laying is on dua, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua. And so we should ask ourselves that we should have a slot for making dua, appointed time. When a person has appointed a time, then it becomes easy to remain consistent. And except the times for dua are the times of tahajjud, between the azan and the iqama, just before maghrib, before the maghrib azan. On a Wednesday afternoon, from the Zuhr till Asr time, these are times of acceptance. And dua is a weapon of a believer. A person speaks that how I wish I could go and assist in different places where people are oppressed. If I only had the means, if I had the capability, if I had all. So dua is the greatest weapon that we have. Our dua from here, it can reach to wherever we point it. If we're pointing it to different parts of the world, it'll reach over there. If it points us towards Jannah, it'll make us reach Jannah also. So dua is a very, very great weapon. Let us learn how to use our dua, how to make dua, the different aspects of dua, the different duas that we should be making for ourselves, duas that we should be making for others, how we should make it, the different etiquettes, etc. By learning it, inshallah, it'll increase us, inshallah. Then, really, what we should be making dua for is for our life of the qabr, for our life of akhirat. Generally, our understanding of dua, we ask, Ya Allah, give me an easy life, give me a life of, and it's mostly dunya things. But the more important things are the lives, are our lives of akhirat. So we find that how a person makes effort on his iman, he becomes steadfast on his iman, then his iman will grow. So look at the inspiration that Hazrat speaks about the people of Gaza, and over what period of time and what amount of difficulties. And difficulties that what we seem as difficulties, but if you look into the kitabs, how many nations of the past people had to give what sacrifices. And what we see outwardly is difficulty, but what inwardly Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is granting them is really something else. This is when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala settles His special mercy on a person, then outwardly a person may seem to be encompassed in difficulties, but inwardly is completely in peace. Hazrat Hakim Sahab mentions that the Swiss, if they created a watch that is waterproof, so it goes 50, 200 meters in water, and let alone water, not even the vapor is visible on that water. So what is it difficult for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to create a heart that is waterproof? And really, so if we get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person outwardly may seem like he's in difficulty, but completely within himself he is in serenity. And when we find, so here in the Ahadith Mubarakah we are taught that difficulties come upon people, and we hear about these difficulties, but when it comes, so what effect does it have on us? Is it just become like a news item where we just read it and we pass and we continue with it? No, it shouldn't be. Really, when any sad news comes, any difficulty we witness, then we should reflect, we should be thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us from this. So we are taught to recite, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is not reserved only when a person passes away, and we should ponder on what it means, that verily, that to Allah do we belong. So this body that we have, all these ni'mat that we have, are really not ours. We are not entitled to it in any way, but Allah through His karam has granted it to us. And we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not belong to ourselves. But inna ilayhi raji'un, and definitely we will be returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to recite that dua, then to recite, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khlufni khayra min. These are duas that we should be learning. Oh Allah, reward me in this difficulty and grant me something better than this. So, and many a times, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we go through certain difficulties we do not understand. We might feel despondent on it. But later after, when time passes, then we realize that, oh, that difficulty that I went through was the means of so much more goodness coming to us. So we should have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the ayat al-kareema, it is mentioned, when any difficulty afflicts a person, and then he should, in qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then after that, following on that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. So for such people, they have the special mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word salawat generally is a special mercy that is reserved for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But by us reciting this and putting ourselves and trusting ourselves to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grants us also a fraction of the special mercy that is reserved for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So we should endeavor to bring and make sunnahs alive within ourselves. And by it's famous in the hadith that we have heard that whoever enlivens a sunnah, then he gets the reward of 100 shaheed. So enliven the sunnah, has it explained to us that man amila bihi, whoever makes amal on the sunnah. So even if we make amal on the sunnah ourselves, we are actually enlivening the sunnah. It doesn't mean that they should become, it's reserved for everybody to be doing it. Our action on it enlivens the sunnah. So in order to get the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to practice upon the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is very inspirational for us that we keep a kitab of seerah, of the life biography of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, by which we will daily be inspired how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lived, and this will become an inspiration for us. If we ask ourselves, introspect within ourselves, how much do we know really about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the basic questions, how many children did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how many wives did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have, what were their names, so we will find that these basic questions we are lacking in the. So the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it is, it's not what we would say is a religion, but our understanding in deen is a complete way of life, which means that our morning to evening, our private, our business life, all this should be in accordance to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It shouldn't be like we just restricted in one department, one compartment, like how we find that we are the Jews, the Christians. So their understanding of religion is that we will just go when it's our Sunday, it's our time to pray, we will pray within that time. We have a few dietary restrictions and that's it. After that, besides that, we can do what we want, we do how, you know, ours is completely different. If every action is governed for us, for every moment they are du'as, in our business dealings we have been taught, so it's a complete code of life. This in itself is a very, very great ni'mat that we should understand, and we should bring Islam completely into our lives. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. So we find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was granted the nubuwat, and the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's nubuwat was very, very minimal, just 23 years. But he was given a deen, a way of life that would be for everybody to come till the day of Qiyamah. So such a long period of time. And so it is very, very important if we have think about this ayat, that what appreciation are we showing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah is granting us, is talking to us and is saying to us that I've given you a complete deen, I am happy with this deen, and so how much of it I'm bringing into my life, how much of appreciation I am showing for this great favor in terms of my amal, how much of my understanding of Quran Sharif do I have. Quran Sharif is what a great miracle, what a great blessing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat gives us our advice that for those who are non-huffaz, one para, supara we should be reciting daily. Those who are huffaz of the Quran Kareem, three suparas we should be reciting daily. And that also we should be reciting with understanding. A person makes a little bit of effort, we find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala through His grace will open up to us and make everything easy for us to understand what the content matter of the Quran Kareem is. So really, it is a matter of that the deen that we are going to be asked for on the day of Qiyamah or in our qabr also. It's not going to be just anybody, any deen, according to anybody's interpretation. Really, it's going to be a deen that is acceptable only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's going to be the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not a matter of an easy deen or a very hard deen. It is going to be that which is the correct deen. So our effort should be that we learn the correct deen. And all this, to make it easy, the person just keeps his mort in front of him. He keeps death in front of him. And death is something that is definite. There is no doubt about about death. And a person then will understand that life of dunya is already how much is very, very short period of time left. And what we are going forward to. and a person keeps this, then this will become a motivation for him that he should be to be preparing for his life of qabr. So our concern should be how we're going to bring deen into our life, and by our actions, what example are we setting for our children? What type of deen are they going to be practicing upon? If we are going to be practicing upon a deen that just suits our nafs in any way, however we want, we do things as we want, and they are going to be our children, they're going to be picking it up, and then what we are actually involved in now, moving away from deen and changing the deen. So it is important that we also be responsible for ourselves. Generally, our understanding today is my house must be nice, and my house also, the plans of the house, as it is given in a very beautiful article in the An-Nasiha, the last edition of An-Nasiha, that when a person is designing his home, how the home should be designed, what the concepts of the home should be. So, but our understanding of a home is based on Western concept. If we look in magazines, we're looking on the internet, we're looking at designs in that particular way, and we feel, no, I must have a very, very smart home. But this is whose lifestyle is this? Whose mindset is this that we are adopting? Really, it's far from what our dini mindset is. And if we look at, we want our cars to be luxurious, we want it to be modern, our clothes, we want brand names. So this, if we look at it, it comes, it's a lifestyle. And this lifestyle comes with this package. And the package of the Western lifestyle, the package of an anti-Sunnah lifestyle, comes with all its problems. The person wants to just ponder, look at the problems that people of the dunya are facing, and realize that if we are going to be going in this way, we're going to be buying into that package. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And let us look at the conditions of the Muslims in different parts of the world, Gaza, Darfur, China, Kashmir, Burma, etc. So these are very trying times, but we should never lose hope. That if we make understand that in our du'as also, that we should be making du'a more for our, rather than our dunya, we should be making du'a for our akhirat. And this really is more a reminder for myself, as a speaker, and in whichever level that we are in, wherever we are in, we should make shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us to this level. But we shouldn't remain complacent. We should try and improve and go forward. And very easy way that we have been taught is that in our matters of dunya, let us look at those people who are less fortunate. Then we will make shukr and we will be thankful. And in matters of our deen, let us look at those people who are ahead of us. We will realize that now I've got so much more to catch up on, so much more to do. And if we keep this, then we will inshallah progress. So let us fix a time, a slot to make dua. Let us try and encourage each other. Let us ask ourselves that how much of concern do I have when I see a person is not performing his salah, our children, our near and dear ones, our friends, a person doesn't have, not keeping the proper Sharia beard, parda may be there, but not according to how it's supposed to be. So am I advising the people or not? I mean, with regards to our dunya affairs, a person is a little bit of difficulty, we all run to assist. We pass compliments, say, no, what a very helpful person. In this society also, look at this group of people, how much of khidmat they're making, how much they assist people. This is now for things of dunya, but is there a group of people, or we should become part of that group of people who assist each other in dini matters. So, inshallah, the purpose of this majalis and the majalis of Hazrat is to bring all these things into our lives. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala through His fazl and karam grant, bring deen into our lives, the lives of our family, our near and dear ones, and grant us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.